Welcome to the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center. I pray that today's message is an encouragement to you in your journey of growth and development in Christ.
Welcome to the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center. I'm Apostle Teresa Harvard Johnson, and I want to talk to you today about breaking the seals. The content in this presentation consists of original copyrighted material. No part of this teaching in any form has been extracted from the works of others. Those watching do not have permission to redistribute, publish, store digitally, record, or print this information without my express written permission and with proper attribution. And I always put this copyright message in the messages I teach online. So this is just a formality, and you'll see it pretty much in anything that we do that's created in a presentation like this. Today is the SEAL School of Ministry. If you're not familiar with it, it's our normal like School of the Spirit, School of the Prophet, so to speak, that we do within the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center. So it is a part of the Scribal Conservatory. It's just that once a month, we open it up for our ministry school. And so we're meeting online right now until things change in the midst of what's going on. But invite your friends, tell everybody that on the fourth Sundays of the month, we have this school of ministry. I want to tell you about the SEAL School of Ministry briefly. The mission of the SEAL School is to equip and release sons into a pure understanding of the Lord's purpose for Ephesians 4:11 ministry. Specifically, students are trained to recognize the genius of the Lord's plan for reconciliation in each office, to learn to identify gifts that are operating in full measure, and identify their role in God's blueprint for his kingdom. The objectives of the SEAL School includes equipping students with the understanding needed to grow into the full measure in Christ, to explore, access, ignite, and release the gifts of the Spirit with understanding, to grow continuously in the fear of the Lord, to express the power and authority of Christ's humility and immersion, and to understand the five ministry seals of Ephesians 4:11 in his purity, and finally, to facilitate healing and wholeness in the lives of sons. This school was birthed in 2011. At least that's the first time that I taught it and the first time that I heard the Lord say, I'm going to teach you about the seals. And this teaching is a result of me seeking to understand what it meant to be an apostle, because the examples around me were just people being cruel taskmasters and hard, and some of them were not loving and kind, and I began to question everything that I understood apostolic prophetic ministry to be. And it was in the midst of this quest, and I guess that quest began around 2005, 2006, and it really came into my understanding around 2010 and 2011. And so I began teaching this, and my goal was simply this: to help believers know what the purpose of Ephesians 4:11 ministry is in the heart of the Lord, so they could clearly distinguish between when people are operating and pushing ministry and calling things ministry, and when it's really the work of the Spirit, a Holy Spirit in the earth. So the SEAL School of Ministry is literally rooted in helping us get a pure view of Ephesians 4:11 ministry. And it's my prayer that as you walk with me, that you are open to just hearing what the Lord would have to say in this. I will tell you that I'm not a person who claims to know everything, but I do believe that what I bring to the table concerning the sealed is a very important part of the discussion on Ephesians 4:11 ministry. People didn't teach me about the character of an Ephesians 4:11 ministry. I mean, outside of the fruit of the Spirit and, you know, just those kinds of things. But I think this is a different level. Not saying that this is better than what other people teach, but I think it brings us into a more refined understanding of the Lord's intention. So on this slide, you hear me talking about a private meeting room for further discussion for ministers who have attended the last two consecutive SEAL schools. So this is just for those who are attending our live calls that have been a part of the SEAL school since we started, because there are things we like to discuss and things people like to share that we cannot do in a wide open setting, because people need to feel some kind of safety or security. So we have these little breakout rooms that we do later for those that are really invested in learning and who have been attending our other sessions, and we just come in there to meet. But if you're watching this online as a replay, just know that that room is not available today. And so this message is simply just for that population of people. Again, welcome to the SEAL School of Ministry. The first thing I want you to see is this boule here. It is a clay signet ring or a clay seal. This is a physical representation of it. And this particular example is believed to be the seal of Barak. And we know him from scripture, you know, the scribe of Jeremiah. And so there are a lot of images of what is believed to be his boule online. And in our past teachings on the seal, you know, as we've been building, I think it's good sometimes to have a visual representation of what something may have looked like in biblical times. So I just want you to be encouraged and to just take hold of this, because seals were like signatures. If a seal was on an envelope, well, not an envelope in their time, but on a letter that had been folded and then the stamp came and sealed it, it signified that this was a very important letter, that the letter was signed by whoever's design was on the seal, and that it came with the level of authority, that it came with the level of understanding that of importance and significance. And so this is all a part of the process and the understanding of what it means to have a seal and to break open the seal. So I hope you enjoyed this, and maybe it encourages you to go online and look at other seals in history. And, you know, biblical culture wasn't the only place that people had seals. So seals also existed in other cultures at that time. So looking online, you can find a lot of information out about what seals were used for in this form. They were on necklaces as an emblem. They were on rings. We would see them on staffs. And so those were the main three ways that they presented themselves in biblical times. Now, I want to give you a recap. I mentioned before that this isn't our first lesson as far as the seal is concerned. It's such a massive understanding that we're taking it apart kind of slowly. So in our last teaching, we identified the purpose of seals. We talked about natural and spiritual seals, because there are seals that we break in the natural realm, and there are seals that we break in the spiritual realm. When you were born, a seal was broken. When you learn to use a bottle or learn to speak, a seal was broken. If you were graduated from high school, a seal was broken. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we move forward. But I want you to see that there are natural seals, and we understand spiritual seals. For example, the scripture tells us that we are sealed in Holy Spirit. The scripture tells us that we are marked or guaranteed, you know, through Christ's sacrifice. So the resurrection is an example of a broken seal. You know, Christ being born and sent into the earth to teach and to redeem the world. That was a seal being broken, everything that he did. Seals are an everyday part of life, but all of them have spiritual significance concerning our destiny. For example, you know, if you learn how to walk, then you can get around. But if you never learn how to walk, you're dependent on being carried. And so a seal can't be, that seal has not been broken in your mobility. So I know this is kind of broad right now, but I hope to go back and deal with this further in the midst of our teaching and our time together inside the session today. Let me grab my notebook because there may be some additional things that I want to share with you as we go through. I think that you'll be blessed by some of them. But we also talked about mantles and seals, and I made a clear distinction between mantles and seals because sometimes people can get those things confused. But it's so important, and I mean so very, very important, that we understand that those two things are not the same. We clarified the role of Holy Spirit in the sealing. We contrasted the difference between seals and mantles based on solid biblical research, application, and understanding. Everything that I gave you in the last session is backed up by scripture, so you can study it out for yourself. This is not just a revelation teaching. It is a teaching based on the Word of God, giving us something to dig through and consider from a different perspective than what's been taught. We discussed the authority of authorized seals, and we understand that what makes a seal significant is the authority in which the seal comes. For example, if the Lord says that we are sealed in Holy Spirit, that's a different level of authority than you or I saying we are sealed in the Spirit or sealing anything in the Spirit. It's like we have to recognize who the guarantee comes from because it's the authority of the person who wields the authority that gives seals their weight and their push and their value in our existence. I also mentioned to you that there are levels of seals. We are walking through one of those levels today. Seals have levels, and this is very, 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 very important. Not every seal releases the same types of authority. That's what that means. I want to make it clear that we're not talking about any type of specialness about us or any type of special people, because sometimes when we teach in Ephesians 4:11, we make it seem so impossible for everybody to access certain things. But the truth of the matter is this. Every believer, every human being, whether they believe or not, breaks seals in their lives. But there are certain seals that are released by God at such a level that they have transformative power in our lives. And those are the seals that we want to hold on to because those kinds of seals belong to sons. And we have the power to do that as long as we are abiding in Christ's righteousness. And so I just want to make sure that that is clear. Again, there are natural and spiritual seals, and seals have levels. Seals have levels. So I also introduce you to the concept of master mantles. And mantles and seals, again, are not the same, and we will talk about the difference between the two as we move forward. But I wanted to show you what I meant by that. So we walked through Bezalel in Exodus 31, and we understand that he received a seal to be a master artisan, and with the way we define seals. And I'll go over that definition with you later, because how we define seals really makes a difference in this teaching. But again, this is a recap, and this is not our first session. So because of that, even if you're listening, some things may not make sense or may not become clear. So Bezalel was a master artisan, and if you know anything about him, you know that he was appointed by God. So to be a master artisan, to help build all the artifacts that were needed at that time. So Bezalel received a mandate or a calling from God to create. So I'm just sharing this with you because I think it will bless you. He received a calling from God to create, and that, I mean, to craft, to work in metal, to do all kinds of things. So you can read that for yourself. But until Bezalel obeyed God by doing what he said, it was just a seal that was given to him. Well, Bezalel broke the seal by obeying. In other words, his actions caused him to be positioned to be able to accomplish all that God had given him. So we talked about how Bezalel broke seals, how he broke himself into new levels or new places of his life where he could fulfill his destiny. His obedience broke the seal and positioned him to walk in a master mantle. A master mantle. And a master mantle is not a master over anyone. We're not talking about positioning. We're talking about walking so precisely in your calling that you achieve a level of mastery. A level of mastery. And this kind of mastery is achieved with lived experience, not just spiritual release. Spiritual release is when God calls you, he gives you everything you need to walk it out. But at the end of the day, we are also called to cultivate that we have been given. So, you know, you might be an excellent teacher, but with proper training, with proper understanding of research, with knowing how to dig through the scripture and exegete properly, you develop mastery. So we're not talking about master like the master, like as in some major release that's upon your life and I'm just the big this or the big that. We're talking about Bezalel became an expert. Bezalel became a person that was so skilled in the area that he was called in that he can now teach someone else. So that's the kind of mastery that we're looking at and that we're seeing when you hear me talk about master mantles. And I know we say things and we like to use terms in the prophetic community, but I want to encourage us not to turn some of the terms and some of the things that I'm talking to you about into something that I am not intending them to mean in the way that I'm using them here. So master mantles is speaking specifically of you becoming the best you can be in skill and the best you can be in the spirit and what God has called you to be. For example, I use the term master scribe, but here I am. I have 20 years of lived experience. I have 20 years of trained experience in that. I mean, education in that, and I'm positioned within my calling and in the professional realm to be able to walk that out indisputably. So I want to make sure that we know what we're doing. You know, if you have someone who's been a chef, they're not a master chef until they achieve all the foundational techniques of being able to be a good cook. And when we learn that those are things that are learned as we gain experience, it makes sense. You know, just because a person finishes a school in mechanics and they know how to work on cars, use all those, the different digital diagnostics, they're learning how to operate certain engines and take things apart and put them together. You know, there are beginning stages and then there are stages of mastery. So we start off as an apprentice and then we move into a master cycle. And so the entire Bible is literally designed around the context of apprenticeship or mentoring or, you know, in that sense of the word so that you'll see what I'm speaking of here. So I've taken a little longer than I wanted to talk about this, but I want to make sure that we understand. So Bezalel's obedience, righteousness, and love of God called him to help others in their obedient places break supporting seals that could be broken within his measure or sphere of influence. Listen, supporting seals as used here simply means that Bezalel was as a master, walking under the mantle of a master artisan, he was able to release and train and build and strengthen other people up under the skill, the perfected skill, and the powerful, powerful maturity of the spirit that he walked under. As a result of that training, the people he raised up were able to support his vision. So supporting seals in this particular usage, in this particular situation, are seals that support the vision or the mandate that God has. So you have master mantles after seals have been broken. Some people walk into master mantles or greater levels of experience, and they begin to raise up others. And these others that they raise up in certain situations come alongside them and help them build even further. But the beauty of that is now you have a master artisan who's pouring out onto others in hopes that someday they can carry their seals. They're breaking their seals. They're walking into their experience. They're training, but some of them will probably end up being master artisans as well through their lived experience and their spiritual outpouring as they cultivate and develop Christ within them. Bezalel's master mantle was unlocked by a specific mandate, released through a specific seal given to Moses. There was a seal over Bezalel that only he could break through in righteous obedience. It's so important for us to grasp this foundation as well. And I mentioned it previously, but I want you to really understand that seals are as powerful as the authority that you walk in. In other words, if your authority is at its beginning phase, then the authority of that gifting and that calling and the anointing on your life to walk that out is going to be at a beginning level. But as you live and as you grow and as you develop, and as you develop, not just in knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, but as you develop in your emotions, as you develop in your thinking, and as you develop in your humility, your obedience, your righteousness, your love for God, your authority increases. It really does. Authority is not based on you thinking you have authority. Authority is based on this development. It's all a part of spiritual growth. It's spiritual growth that brings you into the place of being a master, not just being good at all of the skills. And you can be an expert jeweler. You can be an experienced psalmist. You can be the best musician with talent to ever walk the planet. But all of that is as nothing if the spiritual side does not grow with it. That's that spiritual place of maturity. That's that spiritual place of learning to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and really be humble. That's the place of being teachable and righteous and living a consistent life in the Lord. Authority emerges from places that look like that. So it's very, very, very important that I spend time talking about this, because we don't want to create another prophetic place where people think that just because they've broken a seal that oh my God, this means that I'm someplace, or this means that I need another title added to my name. This is not what this is about. This is not what this is about. Most seals in our lives are things that are only known to us and the Lord. We are the ones who experience these more than anyone else, because they speak to our place of full measure and our maturity. Godly seals cannot be fully broken or accessed without righteous obedience through covenant love. I want to say that again. Godly seals cannot be fully broken open or accessed without righteous obedience through covenant love. Through covenant love. Every Ephesians 4:11 gifting is a seal of Christ. What do I mean? This is what we talked about in our last session. I pointed out to those in attendance that it's time for us to begin to see Ephesians 4:11 ministry gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, I like to say proclaimer, nurturer, which is the pastor, and the teacher as aspects of who Christ was to us in the earth. I want us to see this as each gift was an aspect of who Christ was in the earth. And his ultimate gift to us in his elevation to the right hand of the Father was to leave us with a part of himself in the earth to continue the work that he had started. And this is what makes the seal so important. And I'm going to dig into that a little bit later, but I want you to grasp this. Every Ephesians 4:11 gifting is a seal of Christ. It is a part of his mastery released to us. I pray that that blessed you and that you can meditate on that some. But I want you to please, 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 before we go further, and as prophetic people, let's not turn the terminology, let's not turn the use of the word seal into something that is not meant to be. I want to make sure that we're doing that. It's not something for us to pull out and say, we got this seal or I have that seal and this is, and I'm all sealed up. I mean, there are so many seals released in the earth that it's impossible to highlight them and to identify them. And we have to recognize too that seals, most seals that we're going to talk about are for work in the earth, and they're broken in the earth by spiritual means. They're spiritual, but they're for the earth, and they're for us today, right now. So this is a I'm just quoting you something that I shared with the group last time. Seals, and it's the definition of seals, so I'm going to read it to you as the Lord gave it to me. Seals within this understanding are defined as God's authorization to create, establish, perform, or release his will concerning a specific thing that is backed by an irrevocable guarantee. I want to say that again. Seals within this understanding are defined as God's authorization to create, establish, perform, or release his will concerning a specific thing that is backed by an irrevocable guarantee. Our role in accessing that seal or walking inside that seal at its fullness is dependent on our commitment to sonship, nothing else. Broken seals release spiritual mantles. Now, I know you're wondering if I'm going to define seals further. The last session we had, I broke that thing down heavy, and I mean heavy. But just for some of you who may not get to see the teaching before, just go and look up what seals mean in the midst of any Bible dictionary, a Bible encyclopedia. Look at not Webster's dictionary, not our English language. Make sure you're looking at a dictionary that defines clearly the Greek language. And maybe even look at what seals meant in Hebrew and Aramaic to give you a well-rounded understanding of how seals were used in the natural realm and how they're translated and used in the spirit realm. And I also have a teaching on the scribal realm of John. And I taught this at the Scribal Advance in 2019, and it talked about the significance of the seals in the book of Revelation, not from an apocalyptic perspective, but from a practical perspective of what the seals accomplished when they were broken and why the seals were there. So I think that would be a blessing to you as well if you're able to locate those teachings inside of our school of ministry. So I just want to encourage you with that. Remember this definition. If you have a few minutes, pause this video if you're watching the replay and write it down, because it will bless you as we go through the teaching on the sealed. Now, our foundation scripture, well, one of our foundation scriptures comes from Ephesians 1:13. And I want to just say this. In addition to looking up what seals mean, please read the entire book of Ephesians. I think that anyone who is dead set on understanding what it means to be an apostle, a prophet, a proclaimer, a pastor or a shepherd or a teacher, you know, a nurturer, if you're serious about this, then you're going to want to fully understand the book of Ephesians, because that's the context in which these gifts are released. And one of the challenges I think that we face today is that People do not tell us what the book of Ephesians was about. Why did Paul write the book of Ephesians? Why did, what was the context? What was going on with the people of that time? Why was this message so important to the Apostle Paul? We need to answer those kinds of questions because they frame the whole discourse by which we are released into Ephesians 4:11. And it puts us right in line with Christ's intention. So I just want you to know that we're looking at answering this question when we study Ephesians 4:11. What is it that Jesus Christ wanted us to do, or what did Jesus Christ want us to accomplish through the release of the Ephesians 4:11 seals? That is the question we need to ask, not just, well, I'm a prophet and how do I operate in a gift? No. I'm an apostle and this is what an apostle does. No, that's not enough. So I know that this is probably a lot and I know we're teaching, but listen, read the whole book. And as you read Ephesians, beginning Ephesians 1, verse 1, ask yourself, what does the Lord want to accomplish? What is the intention of Christ? How is this helping the whole body? And by the time you get to Ephesians 4, you'll see why we need these gifts. You'll see why. And it doesn't look like a lot of things that are so publicly visible to us in the congregation today. But Ephesians 1:13, it says this, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's basically telling them, listen, you already know the word. You've been taught the word. You've been taught the gospel. You've been taught the ministry of salvation and the promise, and you know that Christ has accomplished all of these different things. You know that this has been done for you. Now that you know what is required of you, now that you know how to live, now that you know what's expected, I need you to understand something. You were sealed in all of the promises of God with Holy Spirit, with Holy Spirit. So this guarantee, this stamp, this approval, this place of irrevocable love. You have been encapsulated in this. And the scripture, you know, we learn later in the scriptures, we learn that we're told that there is nor height, nor death, nor any place that can separate us from the love of God. And even David said himself, he said, even if I am in hell, you are there. And this was in the time when hell was, you know, when hell was an actual place that was physically known and understood, you know, to exist in that time. So I just want to share that with you because it's so important that we see that this sealing not only is about God's guarantee and God's stamp, but it's also about our relationship with Holy Spirit. It's about our relationship with Holy Spirit. Listen, you were sealed in him, sealed in Christ, sealed in him with Holy Spirit. Sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit. Very, very important. So I want you to hold on to that. Now, I talked to you about levels of seals. The first thing that we must understand about a seal is that seals are relational, not magical. Seals are relational. In other words, seals are based on relationship. If a seal is going to be broken on your life, it's not going to be broken because abracadabra, this seal is broken in the name of Jesus. Spiritual seals are broken because they're God's design. And it's God's intention and it's God's provision for us that breaks the seals. Like a child being born, that's a seal broken. It's God's design that child come into the earth. You learning to walk and eat and speak a language. And, you know, we grow more in the first four years of life than we will ever grow again in our entire lifespan. all of those things we learn from 0 to 4 years old are so profound. We learn so much in that time frame. And while the growth is natural, the growth is also spiritual. How you love a child, how you spend time with the child, what you do in those formative years makes all the difference in the world, not only naturally, but spiritually as well. Spiritually as well. So even seals are relational. I want you to see that certain things, learning to walk sometimes takes assistance and help and encouragement. Relationship with parents, relationship with caregivers give us that. You know, we won't learn to speak without language being demonstrated or spoken around us. So there are seals, you know, when we learn to speak, the seal that is broken is communication. When we learn to walk, the seal that is broken is mobility. When we learn to love, the seal that is broken is compassion and caring and concern for one another. So we still see all of these natural seals. But then on the spiritual side, we see it too. The day we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, a seal is broken and we enter into this sealing inside this with Jesus inside Holy Spirit. So we inside Christ with Holy Spirit there, as we saw from the previous scripture. So I want us to see that seals are relational to God, relational to people, relational to our mastery. And I'm hoping this makes sense and that I'm not moving real fast. In order for seals to be broken, there's a level of commitment to that seal. For example, we can look at learning to drive as a seal. If you never practice, you'll never break the seal to become a driver. And if your dream is to be a race car driver, you definitely need to make the seal to driving. But your lived experience, the natural training you receive, the coaching you receive in racing vehicles will ultimately to position you to be an expert or a master in racing vehicles, racing cars. So there's this whole place of seals that exist that I want to make sure we are understanding and walking out and are hearing. So there's a faithfulness to those relationships. You can't have relationships with people you're not building with. There is obedience. There is an obedience that the Bible speaks of that we all walk into. And the scripture tells us obedience is better than sacrifice. Your obedience positions you to break seals. And one of the reasons why people don't break certain seals in their lives is because there's no obedience. There's no consistency. There's no faithfulness. There's no righteousness. There's no effort to read the word. There's no prayer life. There's no commitment. If you want to grow in God, it's not about me laying hands on you or your pastor, mentor, or spiritual whoever, evangelist friend laying hands on you. It's not just about that. We can only do so much. The big part of this is about you taking the time to invest in your own self. You are your greatest investment. You are your greatest investment. And I don't ever want you to forget that. You are the one who determines whether seals are broken or open over your lives. You know, people say to me often, you go to school a lot. Well, it's part of my calling. I love it. I enjoy it. But every time I learn and every time I start school, but when I finish, I'm breaking seals into opportunity. I'm breaking through into opportunity. I can't just pray, God, give me an opportunity if the instruction is, Teresa, go to school. So while God says, Teresa, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you this opportunity, doors are going to swing open for you. But if I never went to school, as the Lord said, and finished that schooling and completed those things, certain doors are not going to open. They're just not going to open because a seal needed to be broken off my life to bring that to pass. So I hope that this is something that you are understanding, because many of us, we get upset when prophecies aren't fulfilled. We find ourselves frustrated because things God said were going to happen, they didn't come to pass. But the question is, did I do everything that was required of me that would have led me to that opportunity? Did I manage that situation well? Did I handle that situation when it was presented to me? Because how we respond, how we finish, breaks open seals, breaks open seals. So you can't walk around saying, God said, I'm giving you a new seal. No, there are no new seals. You have every seal you were ever going to have, because your seals are based on your calling and your purpose. And the scripture says, everything you need for Christ, for your spiritual, for life and godliness is on the inside of you. So if all of these things are buried on the inside of me, my spiritual growth and development is dependent on me breaking seals in my life, breaking through fear, breaking through intimidation, breaking through the areas of pride that I have, breaking through brokenness, breaking through. And so I'm using the word breaking through because it's when we break through something or crack through, and breaking through is not always about struggle. I want to say that. It's not always about dry seasons and cave seasons. Some things, I mean, you know, for example, waiting for a seal to break in my life. The Lord told me years ago, he said, you will be a doctor and you will be a doctor. And he meant that, whether it's a Juris Doctorate or a PhD, you know, he meant that. And so I've been on a path to accomplish those things. And let me tell you, when I accomplished them, it was a joy to accomplish them sometimes, and school can be difficult, but that wasn't a dry season. That wasn't a cave season. That was just a season of my life that I had to develop the skills needed to become that master in the area that I was called. And the minute that I achieved those things, the spirit could rest and say, listen, this is well done. Now you have positioned yourself to have the key to open up this area of your life. Now, it wasn't a cave. I need a breakthrough. It wasn't that. It was simply that I needed to get the line by line, the little by little lined up so that I could accomplish that was before me. So I want to make sure we are getting these things, that we're not confusing this with other doctrines and making it something else. I'm going to talk about the magical side in a minute, because a lot of believers operate in this magician mindset with God, and that's really not where the Lord wants us to be. He's not a magician. He is a Father. He is our source. He is a God in heaven. He is he who sent his Son. He's a God who's completed and done everything he's ever going to do. But this earth realm is the place where we have the opportunity to unlock the things that are going to make this earth what Christ intended. We have to break seals. Listen, relationship with people. Some seals can't be broken until we come into alignment with key relationships in our lives. I remember the day of my salvation. Many people had tried to lead me to the Lord before. I don't know whether they were not the right person or what. That's not what the conversation is about. But there was a person I met who had the key to lead me into the presence of the Lord. And when that moment came, a seal popped open in my life, and I was able to walk through a gate of salvation. And my lived experience from that moment until now broke open the seal of the apostleship that I'm able to stand before you today and to teach. So there are people strategically placed in your lives, on your job, in your home sometimes, in your neighborhood, you know, in your church community, or it could be that mentor. And we have different people throughout our lives that without those encounters, certain things in our lives would not have opened up. In other words, certain seals wouldn't have opened for greater understanding, greater knowledge, greater clarity, training. It wouldn't have happened. So relationship means seals in this instance is being used to say relationship means that they are based on relationship to people, to God, to others, to strangers. Who knows? The kindness you do for that stranger could be something 5 years from now that changed, 5 years from now, that changed the course of your destiny. Kindness exuding from the Lord. That place of opening up, of someone kind to you, you never forgot it in your worst moment. A seal opened up in you that day. That situation could have caused you to turn a whole nother way in the place of ungodly seals, because there is an ungodly realm of seals. There is. But we are focused on the godly realm, the godly realm. And then there are also seals associated with your mastery. I meet people all the time who say things like, I used to write, but somehow I got off track and I'm really struggling now. Listen. If you have a gifting and a calling, if you operate that gifting and a calling, when you start feeling it stirring and you stay consistent, 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 years pass, years pass, years pass, years pass, and you're still consistent, it leads to a level of precision in that gifting and mastery that keeps opening the best for you. You go, oh, that Teresa, that's a great start. Oh, Teresa, I see you're improving in drawing, and you're improving in your writing. You're improving in your ability to say what you mean when you put posts out and when you write. You're improving. Then one day, wow, I don't see how you could say that in just a few sentences, whereas it used to take you 3 pages to say the same thing. My point is that over time, you develop mastery. And mastery makes room for you. It opens doors for you. But we can't open seals from being a novice to the intermediate stage to being at a level of mastery if we're not doing anything. So I know you had that motivation 10 years ago. But listen, had you been consistent in whatever capacity where you were able at the mark you're at now, you would have had 10 years of lived experience and would probably be in a place of extreme precision, not only in the natural skill, but the learning curve that happens with spiritual growth in that as well. And so we want to make sure that when we're looking at seals being broken, that we're not over spiritualizing it, that we're not talking about seals in a way that is limiting them to certain groups of people that are so special. They're the only ones that can access these seals. That's not what we're talking about. I've broken as many seals as I can in my life with the understanding that I have, but I've also missed a lot of seals in my life. And because of the procrastination, self-sabotage, you know, and then we have things in life that we have no control over. God gives us grace and he makes room for all of these things. But listen, how much more would you have if you were able to endure till the end? If you were able to go after the prize, no matter what the obstacle was, if there was not a single word that could ever be spoken to you that would cause you to give up. Listen, we have to have relational mastery with what we're called to do. I have a relationship with my scribal ministry, my artistic ministry. I have a relationship with prophetic writing. I have a relationship with my mentor and with others that speak into my life. I have a relationship with the people around me. I have a relationship with God and with Christ and with Holy Spirit. I have a relationship. All of these things are required to push us into that authoritative place. But it's so important that we understand that in the spirit realm, the first level of breaking seals is relational. Relational to God, relational to people, and relational to what is on the inside of you that you are nurturing and cultivating unto the glory of God within the capacity that you're able to do. Seals are relational, not magical. And in this magical place, I just want to give a different definition than the one that's here. I don't think I made that very clear. But it's like looking at those people that say, I'm just waiting on God to show me. I'm just waiting on God. He told me I was going to do this. But in the meanwhile, you're waiting for him to zap and say, go ye therefore and do it now. We're waiting on these kinds of things. And as far as I'm concerned, that's magic. That's magic. The Bible tells us that everything that we need for life and godliness is on the inside of us. The question again is, what am I doing with what's on the inside of me? If the Lord told you he was going to do this and he was going to do that as it relates to your purpose and your destiny and your life, as it relates to your ministry, whatever it may be, recognize that you have a part in it. What have you been doing to prepare? Have you been reading your word? Have you been studying your word? Have you been gathering the people? Have you held the meetings he told you to hold? Have you been writing the papers and the books? Or are you waiting on the perfect moment? Are you waiting on everything to be just right? Because the bottom line is, just from my experience and many of the people that I've talked to, there will never be an opportune time. There will never be just the right moment. It's rare that there are right moments to do anything in our lives. We have to work around and work with what is before us right now. You don't want to wake up and it's 30 years later and you're looking back at all of those missed opportunities and all of those unbroken seals. Being magical is operating with words with no action, expecting the Lord to do every single thing for you, and you're waiting for a sign to show you what you need to do next. It's that place of magic presents us with entitlement. I'm entitled to this. It's going to come to me because I'm a son. All I have to do. But then there's no obedience. There's no sacrifice. There's no faithfulness. There's no action. There's no nothing. I'm just waiting. We don't want to be caught in these places. Grown people must put in the work to break some of the seals and enter into mastery. We don't ever want to see Holy Spirit as a genie in the bottle. Let me rub him and then maybe I can have him find my keys. Let me rub him and maybe I'll just supernaturally get through with this book. We need to cooperate and be a participant in the process. I don't know what to write, but if I start writing, Lord, I love you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I've been working on this book a long time. I promise you, if we just start, which is God is looking for action. He's looking for faith. He's looking for a people that will contend for their destiny. Not just people waiting for seals to fall out of the sky. He's not looking for that. Listen. Relationship is necessary to break ministry mantles, to break spiritual seals. Necessary to break spiritual seals, not mantles. Forgive me, that is an error. Relationship is necessary to break ministry seals. I'm going to explain this in detail. Joshua broke seals through relationship with Moses. And I particularly put Joshua here because I want you to see that the breaking of the seals is on Joshua. It's not about Moses being put into your life to help break seals. That's part of it. And that is true. But we need to see us. We need to see our role. We need to see our participation. We need to see our effort. Joshua broke seals through relationship with Moses. He was faithful to Moses. He was obedient to Moses in the things of God. He was obedient to his service to the people. And as he grew, when his time came, the Lord said to him, he said, Joshua, Moses is dead. Come do what I have called you to do. In other words, I don't need you to copy Moses. I need you to break through the seal that Moses helped cultivate you to and build into you, that you could break it. And again, I'm not using the word breakthrough like many people use the breakthrough. I'm talking about seeing yourself pop open something in your life. Aaron broke seals through relationship with Moses. Elisha broke seals through relationships with Elijah. Ruth broke seals through relationship with Naomi. Naomi wasn't trying to necessarily do anything special for Ruth. Here she is, a woman who's lost her husband, lost her sons, and for all intents and purposes, Naomi looks like she's broke down and useless. She has no money. She has nowhere to lay her head. She has no wealth. She has nothing. But look at this. Ruth saw something in her that she needed. Ruth was able to see what was inside of Naomi. She was able to see that this woman, even though it looks like she has nothing, has an ability to help me break seals on my life. This woman has me, because seals, oh my goodness, in this sense that we are talking about it right now, we are looking at the Lord using supernatural means to get people to where he needs to get them. It's so important that we get this, because sometimes we flock to people, we flock to things, we flock to circumstances that really don't have what we need. And because we're looking with the natural eye, and because we're observing with the natural eye, we're observing from a place that, quite honestly, is led of the flesh and not of the spirit. Barak broke seals through his relationship with Deborah, or however you say her name. You know, it was her that led them to victory. But he recognized it, and he was able to come to a new place of existence, simply because he adhered to the strength of that relationship. Now, I'm sharing this with you not to endear you to people, not to say this or that, but I want you to know that the people we're looking at right now, their destiny depended on their relational connections. That is what I want you to see. God has created us in the new covenant to be interdependent upon one another. Interdependent. You know, in the old covenant, it was literally a Lone Ranger lifestyle, but the new covenant changed all of that. You know, prophets weren't really subject to other prophets in the old covenant, but in the new covenant, they are. You know, the whole church is subject to the church in the new covenant. So it just changes things a little bit that we need to see. Mordecai broke seals through his relationship with Esther. Had Esther never had the position she had, had she not managed to break through in relationship with the king, Mordecai couldn't have broken through in his authority in a position where he could be heard and his message heard. That's a profound teaching if you take the time to walk through it, reading the entire book of Esther, not just that one part that we hear about. You know, and so Timothy broke seals with his relationship with Paul. John broke seals through his relationship with Jesus. I mean, we're always looking and a part of seals breaking. Every day, every single day, a seal is broken on your life. Listen, we're nearing the end of this right now. Ephesians 1:13, NASB Bible translation. In him, meaning in Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the message of truth is the message of the gospel. And I love to point people to Matthew 5, the 5th chapter of Matthew, the 6th chapter of Matthew, and the 7th chapter of Matthew. Those books really exemplify who Christ was and what he came to do and what his intention was for the people of that time. And it gives us so much insight into who we are and what we can do today in our faith. So basically, Paul is saying here, you've heard about Christ. You know what he did. You heard the messages that he preached. You've heard the gospel of your salvation, and you know his intention. Because, see, Christ's intention matters. If you don't know his intention, you need to know that the entire purpose of the gospel is to restore the family of God. There is no picture bigger than that one. He wants a fully functioning family, drenched in love. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. That's all God has been talking about from Genesis to Revelation. There is nothing greater than that. The scripture tells us profoundly. Listen to this. It's here, right here in this passage. You were sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh my goodness. I pray you get this. Everything rises and falls on the intention of Christ. Everything is like, how is this benefiting God's end game? How is what I'm doing benefiting the body of Christ? The body of Christ. How is this benefiting God's end game, and how is it serving the body of Christ? Is what I'm doing hindering or hurting the body of Christ? Because our goal in the new covenant, the new covenant understanding of the scriptures, tells us profoundly, oh my goodness, that we're in this together, that it's all about one body, not just a handful of popular people, but it's about the whole body. All of us are part of the same corporate journey, every single one of us, and we are sealed. And that seal means we are guaranteed to be in him. We are stamped in, and the door is closed. No man can open this door and throw us out. Nothing can separate us from this seal. Seals are God's seals and promises of his authority operating in us. Teresa, you're going to be born on February 9th in this year. Teresa, listen, go to school. And when you go to school, it's going to break open this seal, and you're going to walk into new places. So that's how we have to begin to see this thing. We have to see it so clearly. The Ephesians 4:11 gifts are seals releasing Christ's intention on the earth. And it's up to us to figure out what needs to come from our lives once these seals are broken over us. So when you say, God, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. God, I am a prophet of Jesus Christ. God, I am a proclaimer or an evangelist of Jesus Christ. God, I am a shepherd or a pastor of Jesus Christ. God, I am a teacher of Jesus Christ. The question that we need to be asking is, what seal and have I broken open, or what level of sealing that I am doing in the lives of other people when I release what I believe my gift is in the earth? Seals have levels. Seals have measure and metron. See, and what do I mean by levels? There are levels of seals, and I don't mean hierarchical levels. I'm talking about levels of development, levels of maturity, levels. When a seal is in its infancy stage, that means it hasn't broken. That means it hasn't broken forth to the fullness of Christ's intention. That's why I have a rule in my ministry. Even if I see an Ephesians 4:11 gift, I wait and I spend time getting to know people and feeling them out, because we grow in community. God loves the local church, and the local church is where iron sharpens iron, the local ecclesia. And I'm not talking about the church that men have made on Sunday mornings. I'm talking about the scripture as we can see it through the Bible and through the understanding that we have during the time of the apostles, because these apostles were breaking their apostolic seals. They were coming in the name of the chief apostle to accomplish what the chief apostle Christ wanted to release into the earth. And we're going to look at that through scripture in just a few minutes. Seals have levels. So, you know, if I feel in my spirit that the Lord has called me as a prophet, there is the lived experience of the prophet. There is the growing and the maturation process of the prophet. What do I mean? Some people don't need to say they're prophets until they break the seals that are associated with being a prophet. And many of those things that are inside the seal includes the love of God and the blessing of the Lord, the strength of the Lord in that, that causes us to be mature people. And I'm going to show you what those are, because they're the same for every office. We all have to break through some corporate seals together, but we also have to break through relational seals with God that are personal to us, relational seals that are personal to Christ, relational seals that are personal to Holy Spirit. We all have to work on our mastery and whatever we're called to do to get to that place where we're not just fumbling and half doing things and operating without skill. You know, we have to operate in those things, and we move ourselves into a place of excellency. Then we position ourselves to be in a place where we can honest to goodness say that we're walking in a broken seal. Seals have levels. Seals have measure and metron. You know, we all have a place that God has positioned us in, and it's unlimited in that place as long as we continue to break seals. Seals are relationals. Seals release mantles. Mantles do not release seals. Seals release mantles. And so I want to make sure we are in that place and that we understand that. Seals pour out God's intention. Seals navigate and direct God's intention. Listen, I always love to use this example, because when I was with my, when I finally connected to the mentor that was assigned to me, I was able to literally go to a new place in my life, because what was in her was able to take me to a place of maturity that unlocked the next seal in my life. The five ministry seals are mirrors of Christ's ministry in the earth. I want to say that again. Christ's seals are examples of the five ministry seals are mirrors of Christ's seals in the earth. So I'm back. I'm sorry. I had to take a brief break and speak to my son. I'm sorry. Again, I want to just tell you I am pausing just for a minute. I want to just talk to you a little bit about just a little bit about more about Christ's seals. So I'm going to stop the share momentarily. And I just want to speak to you, because I want to talk to you a little bit about Christ's seals and why I call them the five ministry seals. This is very, very important. Then we're going to skip right back to that part. So what I want to share is that each ministry seal represents a characteristic of Christ, a major characteristic. When Christ was in the earth, he walked in all five giftings of Ephesians 4:11. He was an apostle. He was a prophet. He was a proclaimer. He was a shepherd. He was a teacher. He walked in every last one of them. So when it became time for him to go, what did he do? He extended himself to a point where he literally said, I'm going to leave you everything you need in the earth to fulfill, or whether to continue the ministry that I started. That's what I want to share with you. And that's what's so important. And I want to share this with you in a way that I think you can grasp, because the SEAL School of Ministry is all about building this and bringing us into this place of understanding. Because when we understand this part, we can in turn see the Ephesians 4:11 giftings differently. You'll understand, oh wow, if I'm an apostle, that means that I have an aspect of the calling of the apostle that Christ wants me to carry out in the earth as if he was carrying it out. I'm continuing his ministry through this facet of who he was. So we're going to go back and we're going to look at the presentation, and we're going to kind of dig into that a little bit further. We stopped here. So I want you to just see this again. The five ministry seals are mirrors of Christ's ministry in the earth. Acts 18:24-26, it says this. I want you to see this. Because sometimes we think, oh my goodness, I'm looking at her talking about all those scriptures of relationship breaking seals and of people needing one another to break seals. It sounds like another hierarchical message to me. It sounds like another time where you're saying we need people over one another. I'm going to give you a very mature example of what it looks like to break seals. A very mature example. And I hope it blesses you because it's coming directly from the scripture. Acts 18:24. Now, what's happening here in this scripture is this. It says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. I want you to hear that. I'm going to read this part to you again. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. This is very important because, listen, Apollos wasn't a babe in Christ. Apollos was a saved believer. He believed in Jesus and he loved the Lord, but all he knew was the baptism of John. In other words, he was not acquainted with the ministry of the Spirit. This is important because we have a lot of believers today that are still teaching the Bible the exact same way that their grandparents taught it. They're teaching you concepts and they're doing church in the same way, and they make no room for change. I love the time that we are in right now, not what's going on and the crisis we're in this moment in our nation. But I love the fact that we're not able to meet in a local church right now, because it's defining that church isn't the building. Church isn't people crowded up in a spot. Church isn't the pastor having a platform and jumping over the chairs. Church isn't, that's not what Christ intended. And never have we seen it so clearly than we can see it in this time. So just because ministry has been done that way for the last 100 years, you know, I don't know when the first church was planted. I can't remember the exact date, 150 years ago, maybe, when the first church that did those kinds of things emerged. So we can see that God has other ways that he can do ministry. He has other ways that we can celebrate and release the gospel and be empowered. There are other ways to do it. And so listen, doesn't mean that those ways were wrong. Doesn't mean that anything at all is wrong with the old way. It simply means that what if there is a better way? What if there are more effective ways of doing things? What if we were teachable enough to say, I want a more effective way? So here we are. Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor, and he taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues. Great orator, skill, train, all of this coming together. A master almost in the area that he is. But then there were these apostles, Priscilla and Aquila, and they heard him. But listen to what they did. They didn't embarrass him. They didn't tell him that wasn't God. They didn't say any of that. They simply invited him to their home and explain to him the way of God more adequately. We don't know whether this went on a few days. We don't know whether the ministry and the relationship they had lasted weeks or months. We don't know, because it very well could have. You know, this is just a glimpse of what we're getting right here, right now. What we do know is that they said, listen, come on, Apollos, we got to tell you about a next level. Let me tell you something new God is doing. Let me tell you about the outpouring of the Spirit that you never heard about. Let me tell you how Christ finished all of the things that you are preaching. Let's take this to the next level. A seal was broken in Apollos' life from this one conversation. Apollos was able to move from the baptism of John to the baptism of Holy Spirit. Apollos was able to move from understanding the works of John and the ministry of John and the preparation of John and the filling of the Spirit through the washing of actual water to realizing, my God, I can be filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesy. I can speak in tongues. I can have dreams. I can dream dreams and see visions. He was taken in a moment into a whole new realm because the seal opened the eyes of his understanding. And that is what I want you to see. Seals come to break us out of old things into new things. Seals come to introduce us into a new way and a new day. Seals bring us out of our comfortable positions into places of exploration and excavation. They cause us to dig and they cause us to ask the question, what if there's another way to do this? I don't know what your place may be. I don't know where your holdup may be. You may be thinking of a breakthrough. You know how we teach that your breakthrough coming. Everybody needs a breakthrough. No, not everybody is in a cave season. Not everybody is in a desert or a wilderness. It may look like that, but what if what's really going on in your life is the fact that you stop growing somewhere? What if you your perspective is so stagnant that you can't move your perspective into a different realm? What if what you really need is a seal broken? What if what you really need is for a seal that's already in you to be unlocked and broken? Seals come to open the eyes of your understanding. They come to bring you into new places, not just out of your hard place. So if you're wondering what the relationship with this is between what people call the breakthrough anointing or the breaker's anointing, nothing is wrong with the breaker's anointing, because there are trials and tribulations and suffering that just needs an axe handled to it and that needs to be cut up from the root and chopped up. But those seasons are far and few in between in our lives, and we have them. But what we really need is spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is the place of seals. Spiritual growth is the place of seals. We have a whole lot of people in the body of Christ right now that are not really struggling with wilderness and cave seasons. They're struggling with an inability to move past the last revelation that they had about who God is and what he did. What if you could hear something different and not be afraid? What if you could listen to something somebody told me one time, I can't listen to you because what you say disturbed my spirit and I'm not sure if it's God. And what they were really saying to me is, what you're saying upsets my religion so much, it disturbs everything that I ever knew, that if I let it go, it might feel like I am dying and destroy everything that I thought I understood. And that's really what is happening when people go through certain changes with certain concepts. And so they're disturbed in their religion, not disturbed in their spiritual walk, but disturbed in their religion. And I've learned, Father, I don't want to say no to something before I search it out and understand and consider whether or not it's true. And when I say understand something, I'm talking about things of the word. I'm not talking about things of the world. So I just want you to be empowered and to just consider this as we move through this place together. I want you to turn with me now to John 16, and I want to go over some scriptures with you. So I'm going to stop sharing this screen and I'm going to pull up a different one. So where am I? Here we are. Here we are. So I'm going to pull this up and take us to, that's Ephesians 4. That's Ephesians 1:13. So I'm just, give me a minute. I'm going to type in John 16 right here for us real quick. I thought I pulled it up, so forgive me. Yeah, there we are. I'm going to read it to you from here. It's John 16, and it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service." So I just want to share that part because the Lord is preparing them for his crucifixion. He's preparing them for his crucifixion. But listen to this. We're going to skip down. We get here and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment." And I want to stop here. Listen, Christ came to break all kinds of seals. And there were so many seals that he broke and in his own life. I'm not just talking about seals he breaks in us, because seals have reciprocal ability, you know, in us. So there are two sides to seals. There's the seals that the Lord brings us forth in our mature places to break in others. And there are seals that people bring us to break forth in us. Like, for example, I didn't know how to build a website until somebody taught me. When somebody taught me by the help of Holy Spirit, I was able to grasp those concepts and run with it. Now I can build them with my eyes closed, whether it's a content management system or doing something else. You know, so we have all kinds of seals we can break. But listen to this. I want you to hear this. Christ recognized in this moment that he had to go and break a seal. So he's not trying to do a breakthrough, because again, all those breakthrough doctrines, the cave doctrine, those kind of doctrines are all based on hardship. So that's a different kind of doctrine. So we're not talking about that in this instance. It's a valid doctrine. There are breakthroughs that we need, but this is a seal, S-E-A-L, breaking that we need to see. Christ said, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." In other words, the next level of Christ's ministry had to be the breaking of the seal of his crucifixion and resurrection, because the crucifixion was taking on all of our sin to the cross. The resurrection was the new day that he promised. His resurrection was the breaking of a master seal. I want you to see this. I talked about master seals earlier. I mentioned this to you. A master seal is a seal that comes into your life that changes everything in your life so dramatically that you're not only not in the same place that you were before, but most likely you're not going to be the same person you were before in your life. And in this instance, we see Christ saying, "I'm going to go away. I got to go, because if I go, I'm going to be able to help you more, because I'm the resurrected Christ. I'm going to be able to help you more because I can release the Spirit to you, and the Spirit can be everywhere. The Spirit is not confined to just a man the way I am in the earth right now." Oh my God, I hope that you're able to see this. As Jesus, he could only do what Jesus could do in his humanly form. But upon resurrection, he fully became the Christ. And that could only happen by crying out in Gethsemane and saying, "Let thy will be done." Moving into unapologetic obedience, unbelievable righteousness, a consistency in ministry that was so profound that it led him to that place, despite all the persecution, despite that never, where he never took his eyes off of God, what God wanted, so that he could break through into a new place. And again, I'm using that word breakthrough right there, not like the religious breakthrough coming. No, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about breaking seals. See, once Christ broke this seal, it never had to be broken again. It was done. It was a new day. It was a new place. And we need to constantly consider the power of what happens to us when things like that happen in our lives. I'm telling you, it is a beautiful thing to really understand what it means to walk and to open up and to be a part of the sealed and to know our portion in that and to embrace what the Lord has for us in that place. So we're going to flip one more time. We're going to share the screen. So bear with me as I stretch out things here. We're going to go back to another slide. Let me look at that slide real quick and see what's next. Okay, this is the last part. I want to thank you for bearing with me because this was a long one, but I wanted to make absolutely sure we got that down. We're going to turn to Ephesians 4 and the New King James Version of the Bible. So we're going to flip the screen and go there. So let's go here and open this up. So now you can see Ephesians 4. And we're not going to go through all of this because it's not the time to teach on each individual Ephesians 4:11 gifting. But I just want to read this. It says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy in the calling to which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." This is very important to me because it precedes any conversation concerning spiritual gifts. And it also, remember, Ephesians is one long letter. It's not chapters and verses. It's just the way it's presented in the Bible, which is why I kept encouraging you to read the entire book of Ephesians, because it's a letter. And it really tells you why he wrote it, and why he wrote the letter is important. Not just this verse is important, but the whole context of why the letter was written. And we've gone through that in the Scribal Conservatory. We just don't have time to dig in that here. And we've walked through what life was like. We've looked at how people live. We've done all of that. But we don't have time to do that with you as we go through this. And we've had, you know, weeks to kind of walk through that. But here we are in Ephesians 4. And I want you to see that Paul is saying, "I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And I want you to walk worthy of your calling." In other words, I want you to be righteous. I want you to be holy and righteous. I want you to be obedient. I want you to have this faithfulness. I want you to know that this is what you were called to. He's telling them you were called to be humble. You were called to be gentle. You were called to be long sufferers. You were called to bear with one another in love. Oh my goodness. You were called all of this. This sets up Ephesians 4:11. It's not separate from it. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. In other words, work overtime to make sure you get along with one another. Work overtime to make sure you forgive one another. Work overtime to make sure you are operating in the love of God toward one another. This is what he's saying. This is what he's saying. And he's saying this to the people to whom he is overseeing within his measure and within his metron. Paul was not called to the whole world in the time in which he lived. He was called to a small spot in a city. And he traveled in a, you know, and I'm using that loosely, but he was called to these different people and places that we hear about. And he walked in his calling effectively. And he says, I'm going to skip down to verse 12, where it says, we're going to keep reading. I'm going to go back up. Verse 7, it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ's gift was his crucifixion and his resurrection. But his gift was also everything that he left us to help us continue our ministry. And he left us Holy Spirit. He left and he gave us Holy Spirit so Holy Spirit could fill all of us, could fill us up in a way that he could not do. So we are able as a people to do more because we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us as sons. Sons have the Spirit of the living God. And so he can duplicate, multiply, pour fire in us in a way that he could not do as a man walking in the earth. But it says that here, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave additional, he gave gifts to men. Now we have been given Christ's gifts. In this sentence, it says, and Christ led captivity captive. Christ gave gifts to men. These gifts were the Ephesians 4:11 gifts. And he himself gave gifts to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Or, you know, as I like to say, emissaries, prophets, proclaimers, shepherds, and scribes. Or teachers, you know, present day scribes. Under the Matthew 13:52, anointing of the instructed scribe. You know, that's how we see that within the school of the scribe. But anyway, here we are. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ is just meaning that we grow into full spiritual maturity. The whole purpose of the Ephesians 4:11 gifts is to help the body of Christ become mature. The maturity is the full measure of Christ, to be like him, to be like him, to be image and likeness. To be image and likeness is not to use what he's given us as magic and to say, I can prophesy well. I can build a church. I can raise a church. I can draw thousands. I'm so anointed. That has nothing to do with this. It really doesn't. Those are things that are afforded to men. But the true measure of an effective Ephesians 4:11 ministry is that you're able to lift people up into their mature places in whatever measure you have been called. And listen to this. It's so clear because it says we're working together, not just to equip for the sake of equipping, but to equip that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. I want you to see that there is no devil stuff here. Everything here is dealing with people. People. The evil heart, the nastiness of people, the ways of men. Listen, the scripture tells us over and over and over that God searches the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. It's the heart of men. The scripture tells us that the heart of men is desperate and wicked. So what is it that we are maturing? We're maturing in the flesh, the inner man. The Ephesians 4:11 gifts are about this. So go back, read the whole book of Ephesians, and I want you to realize this part too. And this is so important because the Ephesians 4:11 gifts are gifts of Christ. So I am an apostle of Christ, or you need to say I'm a prophet of Christ. I am a proclaimer of Christ. I am a shepherd of Christ. I am a scribe or a teacher of Christ. That's what's important here. We have to realize that we're talking about new covenant, new releases of the giftings of the Spirit that have come by way of Jesus. So our goal is to dig through Christ's life and see how he exemplified these things. We love Paul. We love Peter. We love John. We love them all, and we love the examples that they gave. But the life we really should be examining is the life of Jesus. We should know the heart of the Sermon on the Mount like we are crazy. We should understand that the Sermon on the Mount was addressed to living people at that time, and Jesus was prophesying, teaching to them. And we have to recognize that some of the things said was specific to the trouble they were experiencing in the times in which they lived. We read that today, and we have to say, how, God, did this apply to us right now in the world in which we live? How does this apply right now in my situation, in my congregation, in the ministry entrusted to me? We must also understand that Ephesians 4 was written to a local body of believers, and Paul is instructing them on how to lead and gather within the confines of that community. And the bottom line is, we don't like to hear this, and I hear a lot of people teach things that are not true, but you can't take what the letter intended and turn it into what you want because you think you have a powerful revelation. The bottom line is this: when Paul wrote this, he wrote it with understanding, and we know this because other scriptures back it up, other patterns of the new covenant back it up, that he's teaching us how these gifts operate within an organized local community where people are responsible for one another. Not just you being a prophet on your face in your house by yourself. That's not what this is applying to, because there can be no effective ministry, not really, without a people and without a level of accountability needed. Not if you want to walk in the fullness and the maturity and break open the fullness of your seal. I'm not talking about missionary work. I'm not talking about underground churches, because if we're in Asia and we're facing those kinds of issues, this is going to apply differently. And supernaturally, the Lord will show us how to operate. If we're in the United States where we have more freedoms, then we need to look at this from a different perspective. So that's what I mean when we have to say, God, how does this apply now? Because church here is not necessarily going to be how it's done in another country, depending on the culture, the customs, the freedoms. So we can't expect everyone to do the same thing. And in this generation, we also cannot expect people to walk under patterns that for them may not be what their calling says. But there is a strong order to things. There is a strong alignment, and there is always relational. And we prophesy in part. We are apostles in part, evangelists in part, shepherds in part. We're not all everything to everyone. And we need to recognize that, because new covenant ministry is interdependent. And it's unity based on the, and when we talk about koinonia and we talk about unity, he's not talking about you feeling like you have a relationship with somebody and y'all fellowshipping. He's literally talking about a group of people coming together for a common goal and that are working together for the purpose of spiritual maturity. In order to do that, there has to be mature people who are mature than you. None of us have arrived. None of us have arrived. We all need somebody of a greater level of maturity in our lives than what we have in ourselves. And I'm not talking natural maturity. I'm talking spiritual maturity. People not easily offended. people that don't run away at the first sign of trouble, people that can figure out how to get along, people that know how to forgive, people who don't have a cutoff stronghold in their mind. You know, we need people that can bear in one, bear with bearing with one another in love. We need people that can endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. One of the greatest places of one of the greatest pieces of information I ever received from a mentor was this: Teresa, never leave anyone, but let people leave you. You be the one that they leave. Don't be the one that runs them away. Anyway, the ministry seals. Here we are. You cannot effectively unlock a ministry seal without relationship. You cannot effectively unlock ministry seals without humility. Forgive me for that typo. You cannot effectively unlock ministry seals without an understanding of covenant love. So that should be without an understanding of covenant love. You cannot effectively and fully unlock ministry seals without community. There is a community component to ministry seals, not just you teaching, not just you taking ministry assignments. I'm talking community where people have insight and people can share and there can be different perspectives and different considerations. Community means everybody working together, not just a dictatorship. We have to remember that, and not just a whole lot of people being friends and everybody being on the same level. Same level is not next level. It's common, and we need common and uncommon together in order to cause everyone to move into uncommon places. You cannot effectively unlock ministry seals without action, participation, consistency in your requirements. Seals require your participation. Listen, I want to thank you for being a part of the Ministry Seals teaching. And if this has blessed you, please, 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 please let me know. We have room for you to leave your testimony. You can leave your testimony inside this group. And I'll also just encourage you to join the Scribal Prophets Facebook group where you can actually be a part of what we're doing on a greater level. So God bless you. And thank you for listening to
another episode of the Scribal Conservatory Arts and Worship Center podcast. Tune in next week and connect with us at thescribalconservatory.com.